Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ as New Jerusalem Church, Father, the church which thou hast established, Father, to bring the truth to the nations, the church built upon the seven foundation doctrines, the church established by Jesus Christ as the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of Christ that will come from heaven, Father. As we come in the name of Jesus Christ, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, bones of your bones and flesh of your flesh, Lord Jesus. As we come into thy presence, Lord Jesus, we pray that your presence will be abundant. As we worship, Lord, hallelujah, as thy church, holy church, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, we exalt you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Unto thee be the honor, unto thee be the glory, unto thee be the riches, unto thee be the blessings. My staff from Asal, the Recompriantalostoprobosendalikandasai. Heavenly Father, we come unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that all heaven and earth and the entire universe will be subject unto thee, Father. Manifest thy power and glorify thy name. We bind the powers of darkness, Lucifer and all his hosts, principalities and powers. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. As we worship thee and come into thy presence to glorify our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this worship. We pray you would speak to us and strengthen us. Let not the voice of man be heard, but the voice of Almighty God, who speaks to his bride, the church of the living God, from between the two cherubims. Amen. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Today's message topic is, God is our Father, and He loves us, and is in control of every minute detail of our life, and works out all things for our good, and for our eternal glory. For many human beings, the focus is themselves, their future, and their well-being. But for we, the children of God, our focus is God and His exaltation. That is the reason we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, not our name, but let thy name be exalted. Not our will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not our kingdom, but thy kingdom come. Many people try to establish their kingdoms. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And again in these last days, Rome. However, all the kingdoms of this world shall perish. Everything that is man-made, even the gods that are man-made, shall perish from under heaven. But God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, will be blessed forevermore. So we pray, Our Father, our focus is our Father who dwells in heaven, that His name may be exalted. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom come. The earth is being ruled by many human beings, but very soon it is going to be ruled by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we pray for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And again we acknowledge, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We ascribe all kingdom and glory and honor and will to God our Father. And the same way, in reciprocity, God is focused not on Himself, but on His children. You don't understand that until you become a father. When you become a father, your focus is your children. Your joy is your children. Your inheritance is your children. Your riches is not the money in the bank, but your riches and your treasures are your children. Even the same way, for our God, we are His riches. We are His inheritance. We are His children. And God's focus is on us. He wants us to prosper physically, spiritually, emotionally, materially, financially, and in every way. He wants us to do well. He wants us to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to live with Him forever and ever, where everything will be provided just like now on planet Earth. And God is a God of detail. Every snowflake examined under a microscope is done by a master artist who is God. And every snowflake is different. Even the smallest particle, the atom, is different. The number of electrons in the iron atom and the number of electrons in the gold atom and the protons are different. People thought that by just changing the number of electrons and protons, they can turn iron into gold and become rich. Not so easy, because God created both the iron and the gold. God is a God of utmost detail. And God's detail is revealed in every element of creation. When God asked Prophet Noah to build an ark, a boat, to escape the flood with his family, if you read the detail, God gave very minute detail about the dimensions of the ark, about the height of the ark. And then when He gave the detail about the tabernacle that has to be built in the wilderness, the church where everybody will be worshiping God, there are chapters and chapters and chapters of detail that not even a civil engineer would write in that much detail. We prepare plans, we prepare documents before we build something. But if you look at the document that God has created, it is marvelous. It's astounding that God has such detail. When He divided the land of Israel into the tribes of Israel, He gives so much detail about the dimensions. So our God is a God of detail, revealed in every element of creation. God has packed nuclear power into the smallest stable particle, the atom. When we were in elementary school, we began learning the word atom, the smallest particle, which also has smaller particles inside it, the electrons and the neutrons and the protons. If God created the atom with such minute detail, is He not concerned with us, His children, which are made in His own image and His own likeness? We look like God because we were made to resemble God. Our face was made in the image of God. When a prophet in the Old Testament saw God seated on His throne, he said, "And I saw on the throne the image and likeness of a man." God doesn't look like animals. God doesn't look like birds. God doesn't look scary or like a dinosaur. God looks like us. Our face resembles the face of God. Because of the sin of Adam, the image has been marred, broken, just like when you look at your face in a broken mirror, but God is putting it all together. So if God is so concerned with the smallest particle, the atom, wouldn't He be concerned with us, His children, made in His own image and likeness? Sometimes we think that we are more concerned about our children than God. Well, that is not true. Jesus asked this question to His disciples. Which of you, fathers, when their children ask for a bread, would give him a stone, a rock? If your son asks for egg, would you hand him over a scorpion? Or when he asks for something so important, would you give your child a poisonous snake? And you earthly fathers, human beings created by God in his image, if you know how to love your children and give them what is good, how much more will your heavenly Father, from whom you learned to be a father, how much more will he give good things to his children? Because every good and perfect gift cometh from God, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. The wonderful and awesome thing about Christianity is that we clearly explain who is God. He's our Father. Who are we? We are his children. This secret and relationship no other religion has. In some religions, human beings are slaves, subjects, terrorized, and God can strike them dead anytime. That is the fear that is imposed on human beings in many other religions. But in Christianity, God didn't come down to kill us. He came to give his life for the world. Jesus came into this world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. God gave himself for us. He's our Father. His relationship is revealed in the Holy Bible. We call him Father. Who is a father? A father is the one we originated from. I didn't just show up on the horizon. I have a father. His name is David. I know where I came from. Miles knows where he came from, because we all have a father. If someone just says, you know, announces in the news, oh no, I don't have a father, that's not possible. We probably need to refer him to a psychiatrist. A father is the one we originated from. A father is the one who cares for us. A father is one who's responsible for us. A father is one who guides us. A father is one who leads us. A father is one who is always there for us. Even as a father guides us until adulthood and beyond, God our Father also guides us until we become like Jesus, and the Father provides for us for all eternity. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, Jesus tells us about how valuable we are. He compares us with sparrows. He says two sparrows are sold for a penny, and not one of those sparrows will fall to the ground without your Father's will. Your Father is God. Father, your God knows about every worm, every bug, every animal, every bird, every human being. And the Bible tells us, at any second, God our Father knows how many hairs in our head there are. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Even a zillion sparrows are not equal in value to one human being, because a human being has a soul, and we are made in the image of God, and we call God our Father. If God numbered all the hairs on our head, does he not know that we have problems at work? Does he not know that we have problems at home? Does he not know how much money in the bank and how much it would take to pay the mortgage? Does he not know about our heart? Does he not know about our body and soul and spirit? Does he not know about the attacks of the enemy that are coming against us? God knows how much hair we have in our head, and he knows how many cells we have in our body. God cares for us. In Isaiah chapter 49, Zion, the children of God, said, "Oh, the Lord, the Father, hath forgotten me. He has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." And then God replies. It is wonderful when we make statements and God replies. And God replies saying, "Can a woman, a mother, forget her suckling child, a precious baby, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? This mom carried the baby for a little over 9 months, is taking care of this precious baby. That baby is her life. Will this mother forget her baby? No way. But even if they do, I won't forget you." That is the love of God. The love of God passeth, is greater than the love of a mother. The love of God is greater than the love of a brother or a sister or a friend. The love of God is greater than the love of a human father. The love of God is divine love. The love of God is eternal love. The Bible says in the New Testament that along with the children of God, as the church of the living God, I pray that you may understand the height, the depth, the width of the love of God, because it is dimensionless. God's love is infinite. Romans 8 verse 28 to 30 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We love God, we are called by God, and his purpose is that we become like his son Jesus. And anything that happens in our life, God will turn it for our good. What is that good? "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." What does it mean? There are some things that we consider bad and evil, and there are things that we consider good. All this happens in our life. Regardless of what the situation or circumstance is, God is saying, thank God and praise him for what is happening, for everything, because the ultimate purpose is that we become like his son, Jesus Christ. One day I was in a very difficult situation, and I prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, please rescue me from this situation." And I heard God's voice, and he replied saying, "My son, I have chosen you to reflect the glory of my son Jesus Christ for all eternity." And from that, God reminded me that sometimes he has to take us through the fire, because unless you go through the fire, you won't become gold. Otherwise, you'll just be iron. The jeweler, the goldsmith, takes gold through the fire and stops melting the gold when he can see his face on molten gold. So the guy asked the goldsmith, "How do you know when it's time to take the gold out of the fire?" And the goldsmith replied, "When I can see my face reflected in molten gold, that's when I know the gold is pure and I take it out of the fire. And that's when the rapture will take place. Moreover, whom God predestinated to be like his son Jesus Christ, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified." So what is the most important thing in life? becoming a billionaire or a zillionaire and having everything you want and leaving it and going into a 6-foot box or maybe an 8-foot box in the ground, or becoming like God, like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I think, and I'm sure, that becoming like Jesus is the most important thing in this life. And God gives attention to detail. He has the detail of our life covered. If someone yells at us, if someone gets mad with us and insults us, that's fine. God allowed it to happen. If someone holds a gun to our head, God allowed it to happen so he can teach that guy a lesson that you don't hold a gun to the children of God. And God's power and authority is going to take care of that guy. That gun bullet is not going to come from the gun, and the guy is going to fall down and get paralyzed because he did that. So God takes us through situations to strengthen our faith. He makes us climb mountains so our feet will get stronger and we can learn to fly when the trumpet sounds. God has great things in store for us. Let us not major on the minor and lose sight of the glory that God has for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. We cannot imagine what's in store for us. Nobody has heard, nobody has seen. People have not even imagined the things God has prepared for we, his children who love him. God has prepared eternity for us with every minute detail. I can already see Brother Jose and family in glory, in mansions of gold and silver, having a wonderful time with the family and all the people they brought to the Lord. And it's not the material things in heaven that is going to make us happy. It is the fact that our entire family is safe for eternity in the arms of Jesus with everything provided. Jesus Christ is coming soon. As we have said often, this world is not our home. We are going home. We are looking forward to home sweet home. And that home sweet home is wherever Jesus is. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we are his bride as the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem. And our focus is Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom. If you look at a wedding, a bride is always looking at her bridegroom. The bridegroom is always looking at his bride. The bride and the bridegroom are not distracted by the wedding guests. Even so, our focus is Jesus. Jesus focuses us. And let us not be distracted by what's happening around us. May the Lord bless these words and may the Lord strengthen us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. One of us, as the Lord leads, let us pray that for the words that the Lord spoke.